hear me now.
I like the music. I got the best music.
Yo, what station is this?
You're listening to KOFC FM, the original campus radio, home of the best tunes, the hottest personalities, and so much more.
Let's go now!
Right here on your ultimate campus radio, KOFC FM 97.0.
And as I did say, that we're going to be having for our hashtag It's a Men's World a conversation with Jose Arampekwa, who's joining us live from Gauteng. And we're going to be talking about the relationship that men have with their own singleness and how true it is that men struggle to be single. Let's start first by welcoming him. A very warm welcome to KOFC FM, Jose, and thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, good evening to you and the viewers. It's my pleasure to be on your show. And I must say that I like the quality of the content that you put in, and I like your hustle.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it a lot, both as KOFC FM, but also as the show itself. Now, you are a man that wears many hats, and one of the hats that you wear is the one of being an author. You've written two books, Wait to Be Seated and Gifted, Hunted and Haunted. Take us through, just in a minute, through the content that can be found in both your books.
Okay, it's been great actually having the two books ever since I've been inundated with the Words of Upliftment. So in my first book, which was published in 2013, Gifted, Hunted and Haunted, what we normally do in that book is that we discuss and we decipher the deeds that do the damage to gifted people. So we go into the kind of challenges that are faced by gifted people. Then thereafter, we also offer solutions. So it's a book that so many people can resonate with, because there are pitfalls, you know, in this life. So in order for you to make it, you need something to hold on to. And my book becomes a great companion as people desire to go forward with their talent. Mm-hmm. And in my book, Wait to Be Seated, the kind of content there is that they find a broken man who has, because of the fair share of troubles that happen in relationships, a man who got heartbroken, but he decided to bounce back and putting it on paper. So in there, we help people, and I also relate my story as to how did I deal with the heartbreak. Equally so, how do you move forward in life with the challenges that are there with the relationship. So also you will know how to get your crush actually to say hi to you, and not only say hi to you, but go down on one knee and change your surname. So some of the things that we are in there. So all the things about relationships are covered in the book, so we don't leave no stone unturned.
When you're talking about how to get your crush to go down on one knee and actually propose, you almost confused me, because I thought you were saying how to get your crush to go down on you. And I was going to laugh a lot, because I was starting to think this is probably the kind of book I should be having right now as we speak. Anyway, you talk about having been heartbroken before and now entering into the stage of singleness or singlehood. How did you find the transition from not only just a relationship, but a relationship that was very painful, and now being alone and having to face yourself as a single man?
Well, it's not really easy, because what messed me up is that I don't remember how old was I, maybe 28, 29, and I'm like, this is my last girlfriend, and I'm like, I've been around the world, I've been to Asia, I've been to Europe and all that, this is the woman that I finally want to settle with. Mm-hmm. And just at that particular critical moment where I'm like, I'm done with the relationships and everything, so this is the woman that I'm going to settle with and live happily ever after, she dropped me like a bad habit, and that really messed me up, because I had to start from scratch. You have to believe in love again when you thought she was the one. And beyond that, I didn't see anybody else be, you know, beyond her. So I thought, this is the one that I'm settling. I want my kids to look like this lady. So then she put the plug on me. So And you face so much harsh criticism from the people. Like, you look at my personality, I'm a lovely, bubbly person, and then kapha powerbot. Mm-hmm. So people go like, no, umwenzeng wanabat, not knowing that actually things were done to me, but because of my personality, people assume that I was the one in the wrong. However, so such is life. So you have to imagine going back to people. You told maybe your uncle, and you're like, ah, this year, Galaruma, there's a house where you go in, you know, and the next thing you have to see is the uncles and the relatives during Easter Kia Yabatanala. They'll be asking, Ukai Makoti, when are you getting married, and all that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, hey, somewhere in China, a man killed somebody for asking, why are they getting married? So people better be careful when they bump into me.
And I know it's a very unpalatable kind of question to be asked. I get that a lot as to when exactly I'm getting married. And I can imagine if you are older than me, the kind of pressure that you're going through. But I want us to get into this state of being single. What exactly constitutes singlehood or singleness? What factors have to prevail for someone to declare themselves single? And I'm asking that question because it's possible for someone to be without a relationship but not necessarily emotionally single.
Yeah, it's a critical question, actually, because I'm going to put it, so you can be technically single or you can be tactically single.
Hmm.
So when you are technically single, it's when you really, really don't have nobody. And you go to bed alone, you ain't killing, you don't call nobody's daughter at night, you're not flirting with someone, you're not doing anything with someone. You know that you can walk to the mall and have a date with someone or hold hands with someone without fear. Or you can move into a relationship with someone at any given time without hanging somebody somewhere. You ain't got nobody on half clutch. Mm-hmm. So that's when you are really technically single. But when you are tactically single is that you may be having someone or some people around, but you are just waiting for an opportunity to jump, knowing that when you jump, nobody can say anything. So you have something called in the meantime. In the meantime, Hillary.
And I'm saying this because one of the people that are listening to the show is saying that one of the challenges of being single is the fact that you play around with your hand at particular organs and you entertain yourself, self-help. And he's saying that as one of the challenges of being single. In your view, as a man who is your age, what are some of the pressing challenges that you always have to contend with as you go about in your state of being single?
Well, okay, maybe Ace, let me drop down the three categories of singles. Ne?
Mm-hmm.
You have the single and seeking. So these are single and searching people. Then you have the single and sinning. That's in a religious context where you are basically engaging and indulging in matters that should be engaged and indulged within the parameters of marriage. Mm-hmm. But however, you are peeping through and sneaking
and
subjecting yourself to such things. So that's being single and sinning.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got the last category, which is the single and satisfied. And I can tell you, majority of people who claim to be single and satisfied, most of them are lying. So when you are single and seeking, basically, your eyes are going to and fro. And one of the challenges is basically, some of us have been through a lot in life. We've got emotional scars. Some of the things that happened to us during when we were kids and childhood and so on. And you contend with a lot of things. You meet, because it's for me, there's a particular type of, let's say, women that I will not necessarily entertain.
Mm-hmm.
Irrespective, they may attract me, but a particular stature or stance may really deter me from actually pursuing them. Why? Because of the experiences that I've had with women. So, in the real, real scheme of things, actually, so I'm out here, I'm looking as, is this woman gonna cheat on me? Is she gonna run away?
Mm-hmm.
Will she take care of my kid? There are 1,001 questions that you have to ask yourself. So it becomes a job, actually, looking for a partner.
Now, one of the things that I normally said about mostly men when it comes to not being in a relationship is that we find ourselves jumping from one woman to the next, one fling to the next, because we're scared of facing ourselves. And some of the relationship philosophers and pastors and many other people would say that it's in the state of being single where you get to know more about yourself, you discover yourself, and they go as far as saying you even consecrate yourself so that whoever finds you after that moment, that period of being single, finds you whole. But what I want to know from you is it possible for a person to get the best out of being single? And if so, how do you fight against the urge of being scared of loneliness?
Well, it's very much possible. Actually, being single it's a crucial point and stance or a crucial situation where we find ourselves, and it accords you an opportunity to get to know yourself. So you must know who you are and whose you are. And the problem is majority of us don't really know who we are. And we go into relationship with people. And the next thing, we are still on a journey of self-discovery. Let's say a lady bumps into me and she thinks I'm an author because she loves literature and other things. She thinks I got this man who's going to do these other things and he's such a great writer and all that. So all my life I had been portraying a particular character, which is not necessarily my character because I did not do due diligence in as far as discovering myself is concerned. And then when I discover myself, I realize that actually I'm not what I used to be. Actually, I'm a superstar, whatever thing. And then I discover that. And then I realize that the woman that I got, because I got her when I portrayed a certain character and quality, and right now she becomes irrelevant to who I am. Mm-hmm. Then when we withdraw ourselves, and then guess what we do? We mess up other people's kids. So it's critical that while you are still single, you find yourself, find who you are and whose you are. What are your qualities? What are the weaknesses that you have? And I'm speaking as a man. Part of being a man is to find out your strengths and your limitations, and knowing how to appropriate yourself within the parameters of such things.
And with women, we always have this thing of seeing them going out on pajama parties, going out and having fun at beauty spas, a whole lot of taking themselves out, and they call it self-love. But most of the times with us as men, you'll find that our lifestyle evolves around going to the nearest club, going to the nearest party and hanging out with friends, but not necessarily a contemplative kind of approach where you get to face yourself and nurse yourself and love yourself. What are some of the healthiest approaches that we can have as men to deal with ourselves during that moment of heartbrokenness and also singlehood?
Well, as a man, majority of us as men, we are broken. And I don't know whether feminists will agree with me or not, but society is as strong as the men in it. So men are the foundations of society and all that. So like they say, it's a men's world and all that. So we can be politically correct and do all these other things. And women who've been hurt, they can call men trash on social media and all that. But at the end of the day, my sister, you still need a man in your life. So we'll get down to that at some point. So here's the thing. As a man, you need to figure yourself out. What are some of the things? That's why therapy becomes very important and counseling, because you need to take care of yourself and your soul. Most of us, we are messed up. It's really cool for a man. It's not really cool for a man to go out and beat women up. The mere fact that you've got anger issues, we need to check what are the things that contribute to you, you know, behaving in a manner that you are behaving. And you look at things like anger, unforgiveness. You find that somebody is dead. They've been buried for 20 years, but I'm still angry at them even today. Mm-hmm. So that's why it becomes very important to search within our souls. There's a song called Never Been to Me, which is by The Temptation. The guy says, I've been to Georgia, Asia Minor, but I've never been to me. The question should be, have you ever visited yourself? So, because I've got issues myself, personally. There are things that I don't like about myself. Either they are emotional or they are physical and all that. So I need to go through processes and find out how can I become a man. Like, for example, as I said, there are certain women that I will not normally, even if I attract them, no matter how hot they are and no matter how much I like them, I will not be able to tolerate them given what they bring with them, mm-hmm. either emotionally, psychologically, or intellectually, and so on. If I find a lady that is so attractive and so on, however, she is lazy to develop herself, lazy to read books, and all these other things. Imagine, Ace, when, I know that me and you probably, our vocab is on a high given the environment or the areas that we find ourselves in. How do you feel when you have to actually explain and define words for someone? Mm. Like, normal words and all that becomes boring. And Ace, one of the things is that as men, there are two things we want from women. Only two things that men want from women.
And they are?
Every woman listening, I hope they are really listening. There are two things that men want from you.
Mm-hmm.
One, sex. Two, companionship. Every guy, other than your cousin and your dad or your family members, every person that calls you, it's either they are looking for sex or they are looking for companionship. That's what men want from women.
Sex.
So as a result...
Mm.
Oh, yeah, come through, S.
Yes, I'm coming through and I'm saying sex and sweet bosoms, just to reiterate what you said. But I want to take you back at your analysis of what it means when women say men are trash. And when you... taking it from a point where you say every woman needs a man. And I'm going to have to play the role of an advocate and say, I've never had a woman that says they don't need a man. But what women are saying is that they are standing against women abuse, they're standing against rape, they're standing against misogyny and patriarchy. And that, from a systemic point of view, makes every man to be trash. Trash from an existentialist point of view, because you already benefit from so many things that in the end disadvantage women. Not to say that when a woman says men are trash, they basically mean they don't need a husband. Some of the staunch advocates and users of the phrase, in fact, are married, and they understand that from a philosophical point of view, what this hashtag represents has nothing to do with their interpersonal relationships with men, but systemically how men or masculinity has positioned itself as an oppressor of women. I wanted to touch that so that the audience also gets to understand, maybe someone might have been offended by what you said, that it's a misrepresentation, as far as I'm concerned, of what men are trash is all about. But I want to move on now and just ask this question. Maybe three ways that, in your view, are toxic, that most of us as men like doing or exploring while we're still single, which in a way sort of stands on the way for us to reach in total recovery and, so to speak, wholeness.
Oh, yeah. Number one will be, actually, the number one thing that I'm going to mention may be an encompassing word, self-destruct ways. So as men, sometimes we indulge in self-destruct ways. One, you find that as a result of your pain or your weaknesses and all that, you give yourself to the bottle. And it's a normal thing in South Africa whereby consumption of alcohol, it's up there. And majority of men really run away from themselves or from whatever challenges that they have, and they go into finding solace in the bottle. So alcohol consumption, substance abuse, be it nyaupe, drugs, cocaine, all these other things that we find in order to numb our pain. So it's a self-destructive way. So sometimes also we have this particular tendency of feeding the negative things in life. Some of us, we battle with negative emotions like anger, fear, and all that. So you are forever on a run. And then as a result, sometimes one of the reasons in order for you to be successful in life generally and also in relationships is to constantly look at yourself. How are you doing? How's your relationship with yourself? Are you happy with the way in which your body looks? And then when you address yourself and when you've got confidence by yourself, that really helps you as an individual to really what? To be able to be able to deal with other people. And then here's the other thing is sex. Overindulgence in sex. There's nothing wrong with sex, but you need to really conduct yourself and have sex within reasonable parameters. But the moment sex becomes sort of a habit that really controls you, that is basically it's out of line and it's out of the way. However, there's healing power in sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, because it's the highest form of human intimacy, because you get pleasure, and in addition to pleasure, the kind of chemicals that are released on your body and all that. So, sometimes you need to really chill and face yourself and say, this I don't like about myself. I'm going to improve myself on 1, 2, 3, 4 areas. And then that really actually helps you as an individual to become a better person. And when you are a better person, then you can be loved and you can relate very well. Some of us ace because we did not deal with ourselves. Some of our ex-girlfriends and ex-lovers, they are still angry at us and they think that we are horrible people. Why? Because we didn't deal with ourselves.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the interview on Kofsi FM 97.0. My name is Ace Mulo, and currently in conversation with Jose Arampekwa for our hashtag It's a Men's World, which is a feature that we have on Tuesdays, where we look at some of the conversations that we as men rarely ever have. And tonight we're looking at men and singlehood. We're asking the question, is it possible for a man to be absolutely single? What are some of the hindrances that we face as men when we enter into this state of singleness? And is it ever possible to reach the state of total recovery as well as wholeness? We're going to take a quick break as we ask you, Hosea, on the line to stay with us and not go anywhere because we need to pay some bills. And then when we come back, we're going to be wrapping up our conversation. It's Kofsi FM 97.0. Dumela mangau.
Citybug shuttle service is the perfect option for hassle-free travel. Register online with your valid student information and get a guaranteed 100 rand off every time you book our friendly and reliable shuttle service. Yes, that's right, a full 100 rand off your shuttle fee, no matter when or where. You travel with a safe, reliable, on-time shuttle service. Limited to students aged 18 to 25, T's and C's apply. Students must register on citybug.co.za.
This is Kofsi FM 97.0.
I am black and you are white. We need to start sitting down and having these conversations. I know sometimes people are afraid to have these conversations because they're very sensitive, but we need to get over the sensitivity of the conversation because our democracy is waiting for us to act. So you need to tell people that you are black. Obviously, they know this, but you need to tell them that as a black person, this is how I grew up. This is why you can't say this in front of black people, because this is the kind of pain it reminds me of. You need to start explaining things to people so that they can understand. As a white person also, when you hear black people talking about things, don't brush it off. Don't say, no, but you're using, you know, the race card. Keep quiet and listen and try and understand where they're coming from. You know, we are raised in totally different worlds, but understanding is the most critical principle in all of this. I think when, you know, we get partnership from both ends, then only will we start moving. We really need to get people who are willing from both races, honestly.
Don't tell us to get over apartheid.
Yes.
Because you still haven't gotten over the Anglo-Boer War.
Yes.
You still don't want to speak English.
Yes.
Because it represents the kind of pain your forefathers went through.
Mm.
So if the Anglo-Boer War came before apartheid and we still can't get over the Anglo-Boer War, who are you to tell us to get over apartheid, which has not even ended from a systemic point of view?
Your Kofsi FM.
We're sitting at exactly 28 minutes heading to 8 o'clock on Kofsi FM 97.0. Still in conversation with Jose Arampekwa, speaker, journalist, as well as author of 2 books, Gifted, Hunted and Haunted, as well as Wait to be Seated. And we're talking about men and singlehood. And I'm thinking, Jose, as we were away on an ad break, that one of the things that lead men to always be seeking the company of women is that we seem to have associated being single to being a coward, to having no options, and therefore being in a relationship sort of validates your likability as a man and the fact that you can attract women. How do we redefine what it means to be single so that it doesn't become about the ego but becomes about self-care and the sort of discovery of your purpose?
Oh yeah, it's a critical thing because you've got two types of pressures. You've got internal pressure, which has to do with you yearning and longing for a company or someone whereby there are benefits which are romantic and otherwise. And then the societal pressure, which says to me that at the age of 30, I got to have someone and I've got to marry and so on. So we need to basically demystify certain myths that were perpetuated by society to say it's all right to be single. There's nothing wrong with you as a person. So it all boils down to an individual. Some people, they are not really ready. And then guess what? When you find something, when you are not ready and you get something, what does it do to you? It will destroy you. Imagine a 16-year-old getting a McLaren and he's driving around and girls, you know, sort of screaming and all that. What is he going to do? He's going to smash the car and probably the car might kill him because of what? Pressure. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, there's nothing wrong with being single. I think we need to tell people the truth. I mean, so many women are probably crying themselves to sleep or taking tablets for depression because they've got a yearning and society defines them as failures because they are not really single. Mm-hmm. And here's the beauty about things. God made you as an individual, but God made you actually so that you can relate with other people. But God really likes you when you're alone. How? Maybe let's take it there. I may have an inclination to scriptures because if you look at the story of Adam, Adam was alone and he was working. So he was in his purpose. So the first thing a person should do when they are single is to be in their purpose. Mm-hmm. And then you have to know what is your purpose. The morerowa how mobu belong. You have to find that. Mm-hmm. And then when you are finding that relationship with someone and marriage and other things, these are bonuses. Because when you go into marriage or a relationship, you need somebody who can become your teammate or cheerleader and help you as you do what? You are striving towards that particular purpose and calling. So it's really great for people to be single and focus on themselves. A relationship is just a bonus.
So you're basically saying that seek ye first financial stability and sweet bosoms as well as cuddles will follow later. But one of the challenges from a societal point of view that I think men have when it comes to staying single is the male privilege that comes with you basically having the power to stop any woman and making any initial moves, which, for example, women may not necessarily have. For example, a woman might be single for 5 years, not necessarily out of choice, but because she can't make advances at men. Because society is going to perceive that as some kind of tendencies of being a slut, so to speak. But with us as men, we have the privilege of going for whoever you want to go for, and it's not seen as taboo the same way it gets seen as when women do it. And maybe what I'm trying to get to is to what extent has our society itself enabled us as men to have the kind of power and the privilege over women that sometimes when you talk about these issues of being single and being in a relationship, we forget also that the scales are tipped in our favor from a societal point of view.
Oh, yeah. Ace, I'm going to come to your question. First, I think maybe let me throw in the an issue you touched on to say, is it wrong, actually, this is one of the questions I ask in my book, is it wrong for women to make a move on men? Mm-hmm. Society may say no, religion may equally say no, but we are not really sure whether religion has ever said no. So I'm saying that why is it that we'll tell a young lady to go after her dreams academically, to go after her dreams in certain areas, career-wise and so on? Why can't women really approach men? Is there anything wrong? According to me, there's nothing wrong with women taking the bull by the horns. And thank God for technology. Right now, a lady can just WhatsApp you and so on. I think if women are tired of being single, they must take the bull by the horns. And whether the bull or the horns will actually stab them or whatever, that's up to them. But part of being alive is taking risk in terms of the goals that you've set for yourself. A lady can't wait all her life for a man. But age, I don't know what the statistics say, but I know that there's not enough men in this particular world for all the women that are out here.
Mm-hmm.
So sisters must go out and find themselves men. I'm sorry, can you repeat your other question? I think I got carried away.
No, instead, I'm going to try and respond to the point that you just made now. And what I'm saying is that sometimes we speak from a point of privilege as men. It's not as simple as you have portrayed it to be. In fact, it becomes oversimplistic in a sense that it's easier for a person that has privilege to take a risk. But when the whole setup of a system is against you, when the whole value system in a society that you live in tells you that if you do a certain thing, you're going to be perceived in certain ways, it's not necessarily an issue of you having guts or having the balls to go for a man, but the ramifications of doing so and whether or not you have the characteristic depths to make sure that you can deal with what society throws at you for having gone after a man.
Yes.
So this is the response that I was having, so that because I'm aware that as we talk right now, you and I, as men that are heterosexual, even in terms of sexual identity, that there might be some bits and pieces of oversimplicity in our conversation, which may not necessarily be the case when you're looking at it from a point of women. But I have someone here who is asking on our WhatsApp line that, what if being a player is his calling and he finds fulfillment in just playing around? What do we have to say to that?
Wow. I think I'm conflicted because as a man who happens to be to lean towards religion, which is Christianity and all that, him actually playing the field and calling it a calling will be maybe as a hobby for himself and for his own desires.
Mm-hmm.
That we can say being a player can be a desire, but to say it's a calling, I think it's far-fetched. However, part of being alive is that we make decisions. So it's like making up your bed. You make up your bed and you can decorate your bed with roses. Whether the roses still have thorns or it's just flowers without thorns, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And still, you still have to lie on that particular bed. So can everybody make up their bed and lie on it?
All right. Now, when you're talking about your debunking of what they said from a biblical point of view, I can imagine why he's probably typing back to us and saying that Solomon had a calling of being a player from a polygamist point of view, and many other people that had multiple women in the Bible. So does the Bible really criminalize having many women? That would be the kind of question that I assume he's probably asking. But we're running out of time for this conversation. So what I'm going to ask is us to get to the conclusion of the conversation. And in conclusion, how exactly can a man see that he has healed from whatever made them to be single? From a personal point of view, as far as your story is concerned, but just generally, what are the basic components of healing when it comes to relationships for a man?
Okay, to show that you've really healed, it's when you rid yourself of behaviors and actions that were brought about by the thing that hurt you.
Mm.
So when you begin to move and you are able to be restored to a place where you were in, where you loved freely and fearlessly without reservations whatsoever, that will tell us that you've been healed.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when the name of the particular person or something of when the offenses that the other person committed on you and those things, they recur, but they don't bother you.
Mm-hmm.
So that will tell us that actually you've been healed. And when you are healed, it's when you are free and within you know that actually you're going to do things the way you've always wanted before the incident or accident that brought you to a place of pain and suffering.
And that was Hosea Rampekwa joining us live from Gauteng, talking to us about men and singleness, putting us at exactly 18 minutes heading to 8 o'clock. My brother, thank you very much for making time for us this evening out of your busy schedule, and we're looking forward to having more of these conversations with you.
Thank you so much, Asa. This was a really great, actually, conversation, which touches on therapy also. For there are so many questions that you raised and education that you brought to me, and I'm going to ponder on a lot of things. And I guess my perspectives will be on point.
This is Coxie FM 97.0.